We have the scroll in the hand of the Father, that they are searching for someone who is worthy to take the scroll from the Father's hand. And that's why our title of the message is Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, He's the only one worthy. And we talked about that last Sunday. So, excuse me, this morning I want to talk about what takes place, the celebration that takes place in heaven. This is future tense, but this is present tense, because with God, He's always present tense, okay? So we get an idea, a beautiful idea. What is worship in heaven going to be like? Well, God gives us this because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So worship is the same as we read about here as it will be in the heavens in the future. So let me read these verses. I'm starting in chapter 7. That is where we left off last week. I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter, but obviously we're not going to cover, but really a short portion of this. But I want to read it all in the context, and also read it all because it's God's word, and let Him speak to us. Then He came, He being Jesus, took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, which is God the Father. So God the Son takes the scroll. And when He had taken the scroll, and here's the major emphasis I want to give this morning. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and gold bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I want to tell you that's more than a billion, all right? Much more, all right? We'll get to that, Lord willing, next week. Saying, with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Here we are. You are worthy. Verse 9 now. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Notice seven attributes mentioned there. Verse 13. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and that are in them, I heard saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." We're on the earth right now, so that should be our song, blessing and honor. Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Let's pray. God, as we go to Your word today, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, will be acceptable to You, dear God, my Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Bless the preaching of Your word, not only here, but across this land. Bless those who are seeking to uplift You through these patriotic ministries, and also the messages will be presented to exalt Christ. Bless the speakers who will share, and Lord, help people to see how we need Your blessing upon our country. And finally, dear Lord, speak to us. I pray for my dear sister Janice, who is struggling and getting towards the end. Lord, help her family with the needs that they have to make that transition as smooth as possible, Lord. We miss her presence with us. We realized how much she treasured being with the family of God here. And we know She's very close to joining that family of God in heaven, and we praise you and thank you for that. Now, bless this time together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I have said up front, and I'll continue to say I'm not in a hurry to get through these chapters because I know I may never pass this way again. I know the sand in the hourglass is getting heavy on the bottom, all right? I know some of these groups go out and have what they call their farewell tours, and we never know when our farewell tour will be. We may be going through it right now. And I said up front when we started this series that we should all be concerned about the future because we were going to have to spend the rest of our lives there. So God only knows the future. And God only knows what's going to happen because he's going to make it happen or allow it to happen. So I, as Aaron mentioned, and I'm glad he did, I hope you like to praise and worship the Lord on the earth because his word tells us that's going to be a big part of our future. A lot of the songs that we sing about talk about that. Here they were praising him and they had their harps with them. And I look forward to the day when God gives me perfect knowledge and I can play the piano like Brent does and I can play my guitar like some of the famous guitarists down through the centuries and play it for my Lord. And I do it now. But to have that perfect ability and knowledge. And right now, some people say, well, you know, that's this praise and worship, not really my cup of tea. I don't, you know, well, just beware of this. God's going to change you if you don't have it. God gives us a song to sing when we come to know him. I can't think of anything more important than talking about heaven will be like and what we will do in heaven. And I want to begin this morning by quoting an old-time preacher man by the name of Donald Gray Barnhouse, who in writing on Revelation said this: there are four things out of place in the universe. The church is out of place. She ought to be in heaven. Israel's out of place. She should be in the land that has been sworn to her and possess every part of it. The devil is out of place. He ought to be in the lake of fire, but he's still roaming free. And Christ is out of place. He should be through with intercession and seated on his throne, reigning instead of upon his Father's throne, interceding. And that's very, very, very true. You know, part of the church is there, all of the church is there. Israel has part of their land back, they ought to have all of that land back. The devil is roaming about, as Job dealt with, and the scriptures tell us, we're going to and forth, and he ought to be locked up. And Christ is ever interceding until, as we read in this verses today, he begins to take that scroll and begin again, right leading up to that fact of when he'll begin his thousand-year reign upon the earth. I want to mention three things real quickly that we talked about last week, the special search for the worthy one. You know how that they were looking and they couldn't find anybody. They looked everywhere. They looked heaven, earth, under the earth, couldn't find anyone. John began to weep because no one was found, and then they found the one. His name is Jesus. That specific selection of the worthy one. And then, as we've read here this morning and as we talked about last week, he was the Lamb. He was the Lion of Judah, and he's the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain, but he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. So, this morning, first of 2 points I want to share with you to add to this selection from last week. First new point I want to share with you and spend some time in is what I want to call the spontaneous service to the worthy one. The spontaneous service to the worthy one. Notice, then he came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the throne, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saint. Now, I'm going to go back to this several times as I explain it, so have Aaron leave it up there. First of all, I wanted you to mention here, he's taken the scroll, the weeping is ended, and there's going to be praise from here to the end of the chapter because of what's taking place in heaven. Don't miss the order of service here around the throne. Because heavenly worship has an odor, not odor, but an order to it, all right? The there's no interruptions. And it does have an odor to it also, because incense makes a smell, if you're familiar with incense, all right? Unfortunately, incense got a bad rap, you know, in the, back in the 60s, when Marlon and a lot of the hippie kids burned it, you know, to cover up the smell of that other stuff. But anyway, these creatures, they don't interrupt one another. They're not drawing attention to themselves. You know, sometimes in services they'll have people, and I talked to you before about the man who just walked around during the whole service drawing attention to himself. He was in the Spirit. Well, that ain't the way the Holy Spirit operates. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's what we see here. There is fire here. There's enthusiasm here. There is emotion here, but it's not strange fire. There's no confusion. There's no disorder. There's no look at me, how great I am, how great I am. No, on the other hand, worship is not a spectator sport. We're not sitting down and watching a ball game and watching other people, you know, out there on the field work up a sweat, all right? And we're not here, the praise team that's up here, they're not glorified cheerleaders, and you just hear, watch them go, yeah, yay for Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, all right? No, it's not a spectator sport. Worship is participation. See, think about this. Groups do not worship as groups. They worship as individuals, all right? Each one personally has a worship experience with God. And that comes together. That's what's taking place here. That comes together. See, people can worship all around you, but nobody can worship for you. This isn't the Civil War where the rich paid people to go fight for them. You can't pay people to pray for you. You can't pay people to praise for you. Don't expect anyone to do that. God deserves our best, no less than our best. And again, one of the things I've emphasized over and over, Jesus' prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, this is what's going on. This is his will in heaven. So let's bring that down here. And one of the things that I mentioned too, and I'll mention again because it mentions it twice, and I read it to you, that the word worship means, in essence, to fall down. My creator. There's no me without you. I am the creation. You're my creator. I'm not embarrassed to fall down in front of you and humble myself before you. All of us need a dose of humility. And be careful, because once you know you got it, you lose it. All right? Then pride enters back into the picture. We need humility. We need humility in our services. We need humility at the altar, at prayer, at invitation time. All of those things. We should have prayer requests. We should humble ourselves. And the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves, he'll lift us up. Now, I want you to notice another thing, and I touched on this just a minute ago. Notice they each one had a harp. They had a harp. Now, all 24 of these, and again, I believe they're representative of the redeemed because this is the song of redemption. So here they are with that stringed instrument that is mentioned many times in your Bible. Many times. In fact, for those men who say your wife's always harping at you, all right? Well, she's just getting you ready for heaven, all right? That's what she's doing. Here, harps are mentioned here in worship, and they're mentioned many other times. They're mentioned in the Psalms several times. In fact, they're going to be mentioned again in the book of Revelation in chapters 14, verse 2, and in chapter 15, and verse 2. There you have harpists. All right. These are people that have been redeemed, and they've got perfect knowledge and perfect ability, and everyone can play a harp. All right. And many of the other instruments, you know, I could go into and at another date. I remember, I have a memory in my mind of a harp. We did a wedding here, I don't know, probably 25 years ago. We had a couple. In fact, he was leading our music at that time. And we had a wedding, and their wedding, and they hired a harpist. And she was up here, and instead of having piano, she played a harp. I think it was one of those like Harpo Marx, and I'm really dating myself, but they called him Harpo because he played a big harp. 47 strings. They say the big harp like that is one of the most complicated and hardest instruments to learn. And I can imagine, you know, it's fine one thing for a six stringer, one thing for a 12 stringer, but 47 strings. But anyway, she played that harp and played the wedding march and different things and special. Service was over. We went into the fellowship hall to have some cake and all that stuff after the wedding. And I was sitting there, and I had a bird's eye view right down the hallway, and I seen this lady, and she was taking this harp and wheeling it out, and she was going to have to load it into the back of her SUV. So I hopped up real promptly, trying to be the good Samaritan, and I went up there, and I helped her load that harp up in the back of it, and I heard something go... And I tore my pants out. And we hadn't taken the wedding pictures after the wedding yet where you come in here. So I had to sneak out of the church. Thank goodness I didn't live a long way away. Change my pants and get back so I could get in the wedding pictures. All right. Well, here we have this harp. And David... You remember David playing his harp? You remember he played a song that soothed the savage beast when Saul was there, you know, and he played it for Saul. In fact, Saul rewarded him by throwing a spear at him. But anyway, David played that instrument. We've got a picture of it up here on the screen. A lyre, they also call it, all right? Now, I want to tell you something. We have a book called the Book of Psalms, and that word literally means, in essence, a song to be played with an instrument, with a stringed instrument. You know, piano is a stringed instrument. You know, think about, hear this gift that God gives from heaven. And he has inspired 150 psalms. We read some from a psalm this morning. We often do that. So here were these 24 elders there. And they have their hands on these harps. And they're symbolizing something. Because if you do a study of the harp, you'll see oftentimes it was played before they would give prophecy. Give prophecy. And here we have, in fact, I want to mention in Psalm 33 and verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. To think that one of these days we're going to be in that company. There is currently, if you haven't had the chance, I know David and Jeannie have. Our family had the opportunity about a year ago in January to go down to Branson. They're doing a play based on the life of David and holding true to the Word of God. In interludes of that play, man who betrays David will have one of those instruments in his hands as he's playing. So, you know, think about, we think of the Psalm 23, for instance, as, you know, well, we've heard that many, that's a song. We don't have the music. I know some who have written music to it. I love the version that Keith Green did with that song. But to think here, I want to point out to, going back to our text here, these guys are very talented. Notice they were able to do three things at once, okay? That has to be a heavenly supernatural gift. They were able to fall down, have their harp, and in the other hand, they've got this. And notice God leaves us no doubt what these bowls are. They are prayers. Now, incense is a wonderful thing that you read about in the scriptures because it's symbolic of prayers. They, in fact, and I want to read to you about a man by the name of Zacharias, who was the husband of Elizabeth and the father of John the Baptist. His job was to keep that burning. In fact, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 9, I want you to see this. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot, you heard about people, my lot in life was to do this. His lot in life was to burn incense. He went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. That's the pattern, all right? Whenever the priest went to burn the incense, the people prayed. And it was a visual reminder of several things. It was a sweet smell. It was going up into the nostrils of our Heavenly Father, if you want to use that, again, symbolism for God who is a spirit. It was sweet smelling to Him that those prayers. Think about it. When you pray, not if you pray, I hope. That's not the case. When you prayed this morning, all right? When you prayed. Our prayers are like that. They're sweet to God. They give Him pleasure. Now, there's a temple in heaven. That's where this is all taking place. I've shared that with you. There's no temple on earth anymore. But I want to share something with you in relationship, how things are now. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. Because I remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 tells us, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is in you? I want to tell you, every Sunday when I'm here, there's a temple, everywhere there's a temple. You're a temple. Now, is smoke rising from your temple? Is that sweet smell going up to Him? Or is it absent and you're stinking up the place? All right? That sweet smell. You know that in that Old Testament temple, it continually burned. Prayers were continually to be offered. All right? Continually to be offered. And that smoke was a sweet perfume. In fact, I've got a little picture here I want to show you up here on the screen because it quotes Psalm 141 in verse 2. And notice, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. My hands go up, my prayers go up, the smell goes up like the golden bowls there of incense as it goes up. That lifts up. Now, our body is a temple. Out of that temple, again, should be the incense of prayer. And that's why, in, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. The incense continues, all right? When we pray, we fill the place. I've thought about it. I have never done it. May never do it. About having some incense. A bowl of incense that you could smell to remind you of the prayers going forth. That sweet smell. Now let me share something with you. Very, very important. Hear me. Hear me, please. Things happen in this world. Terrible plane crashes. Train wrecks. Excuse me. Car accidents. Cancer diagnosis. Cancer deaths, evil murders, children dying young, runaways. And people kind of flippantly just give up and say, well, it's God's will. I want to remind you of something. If you start looking at your prayer life that way from your temple, you will dry up. You will say, what is the use of praying? nothing happens anyway. Look how the world is, how it doesn't change, how I keep praying for this and nothing happens. Remember this. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Important to understand that. His will is not always being done here on earth, and that's why he said what he said. All right? Do you think it's God's will that people die? No. That's why Jesus came, to what? To defeat death. Do you think it's God's will that people live in sin? He became sin for us to take that away. There'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no death in heaven. All of those things. It's not his will, remember, that any should perish. So whenever someone dies without Jesus, that's not his will. That's not his kingdom coming. That's not his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So remember that. We are praying in essence that we're not going to accept this because, Lord, you didn't accept it, and that's why you came to earth, to defeat it for our behalf. Thy will be done. All right. Is the prayer of a rebel who's saying, I'm not going to accept this. And that altar of incense reminds us that Jesus is continually, the Bible tells us, praying. He said from the cross, it is finished. But he said, the Bible tells us, he ever intercedeth for us. Now, these prayers, remind you, this is future tense. These prayers have been gathered up, like the Bible says, our tears have been gathered up. These prayers have been gathered up, and now what is happening? Glory, hallelujah. Those many times you've prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is beginning to happen, and it's going to happen. And before we get done with this book, that prayer will not need to be prayed anymore, because it will be fulfilled. Which brings me to a fifth point this morning I want to share with you, and just barely get into this one. And I want to talk about the saints' song for the worthy one. Notice they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. Now, think about this. Here's something interesting. I've told you. Where are they at? Where are they singing this song? Not in a palace. The throne is in the temple. There's a temple up there. That's, again, symbolized by all these things we read about that are taking place. Remind us, remember the Old Testament temple was designed in accord with the New Testament temple, with the one up in heaven, all right, with the one up above. And what was the temple on earth for? For worship. Interesting fact. The description of the temple and the construction took up 243 verses in Exodus. Yet only 31 verses in Genesis are devoted to the creation of the world. So that's the emphasis that God makes. Remember, your temple now is your body. Take care of that body, all right? And we come together. Our bulletin calls this a worship service. We bring our temples into this room, which is called a sanctuary, which the word means set apart. Set apart. And notice they're singing a new song. New song, all right? Bible is full with new things. And I want to tell you, there's more than new songs. There's new life. There's new creation. There's new anything and everything in the Word. In fact, I want to share some verses with you real quickly from the Psalm, for instance. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Sing to the Lord a new song and pray and his praise from the ends of the earth. New songs. Now, I said all that to say this. Every once in a while, I'll have somebody say to me down through the history of time, I just want to sing hymns. I just want to sing songs that are 200 or 300 years old. I don't like them new songs. I don't want to hear them new songs. I don't want to do those new songs. All right. Well, when I hear that, it gives me a pain I can't describe and don't want to this morning. But I want to say this. Somebody put together, and I agree with some of them. They put together, I noticed this past week on Facebook. This was listed. It listed old-fashioned worship. God-centered, truth-focused, reverent, exalts God, rich in biblical truth, teaches and admonishes, produces reverence, builds faith and conviction, honors God's holiness. Hey, amen to most of that. Contemporary worship. Man-centered, emotion-driven, entertainment focuses on man, emotion over truth, repetitive and shallow, produces excitement, seeks approval, blends in with the world. The church is never called to sound like the world. Guard your heart. Guard your song, excuse me. Guard your heart. Now, that verse he mentions, I want you to see it. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice there's songs besides hymns that we can sing. All right? Always has been, always will be. And let me tell you something about the old songs. They were once new songs. Okay? Some of them, like, I think one of the oldest in our book is A Mighty Fortress is Our God. All right? So they were once new songs. Now, in reverence, you know, we need reverence. I agree with what they say here, you know, about man-centered and we're not here to be entertained and this is it. I don't like the light show. I don't like lights, camera action. I don't like smoke machines and all these other junk that they bring in from the rock concerts and so on and so forth. All right, I want, you know, if it doesn't exalt God, then it's me worship, it's self worship, it's not God worship. All right, but I want to tell you something else. Just because it's repetitive doesn't mean it's shallow at all. At all. And just because it produces excitement, God help us to have some excitement. God help us to be excited that we're saved and we're going to heaven. God help us to be excited that He reigns, He rules, He's provided all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And yes, this church has never been called to sound like the world, but I want to tell you what, let the whole world sing to Him and give Him praise and give Him glory, all right? I think of, we just were in a verse in Revelation. Do I have that? Revelation 4 and verse 8? I don't. Yeah. Notice here the repetitiveness of this praise here. They do not rest day or night saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Don't call that shallow. Call that trying to get in your head. He's great and you're not. He's holy and you're not. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, we're going to be introduced to that word loud many times in Revelation. I want to tell you what, nobody goes to sleep up there. It is loud. In fact, I want to show you a couple of verses. Psalm 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoices and sing praises. Can you imagine if somebody's just shouted out, praise the Lord? Oh, God, you don't do that in church. This is a place of reverence. It's a place of reverence and a place of celebration. We're celebrating the King of Kings. Oh, clap your hands. You know, I go to a football game and they have this little goofy song they play. Everybody clap your hands. My wife knows it. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. And you know that word admonish? You know that word, it says admonish one another? You know that is when you're singing, you're preaching. Remember, we're a group, but we're individually. We're teaching others the Word of God. How great you are, God. You know, I'm going to take music is like food. In this respect, everybody has their likes and dislikes. Everyone has their opinions of what they like and don't like. I want to tell you something. I can't imagine a world without music. And I shared with you recently, Christianity is the only religion that has songs and music. Hindus don't worship in song. Buddhists don't worship in song. The Muslims don't worship in song. They just do some chanting, all right? Music is a gift of God, and it's one of the ways we see over and over again that brings glory to Him. And He's always inspiring new songs, new sermon. I don't want to come to a church where they preach John 3:16 all the time. I know John 3:16. I don't need to hear it every week, and I don't need to hear the same songs every week. God has new things. He's creating new individuals to add to that heavenly group, all right? A new song. And that brings me to the final point I want to share. I want to share with you and just begin today the different attributes of this one song, this new song. It's a worship song. First and foremost, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy." Remember this, when you say the word worship, think of worth-ship. Because the word worship means to attribute worthiness to the one you are worshiping. Oh Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise and worship. And worship is not, think about this, the songs we sing, the hymns we sing, the praise songs we sing. Again, what is we to be learning from them? Spiritual truths. Spiritual truths, all right? God speaks to us through His Word. He inspires people like David and other ones to write songs that come from His Word. And what are we doing? When we worship, we're singing back to God the truth about God. And that's worship in spirit and in truth. I want to, Plato said something. Every heart sings a song incomplete until another heart whispers back. That's what happens when we worship. God is whispering back to us those truths that He's given us. Now, this morning, I want to do something this morning I don't think I've ever done before. I don't know. 36 years, whatever, and my memory is getting shorter. But I want to share a song with you. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to show a video, all right? I'm going to show you a video because this video, this song describes Revelation chapter 5 to a T. It's a beautiful song. It's a new song, 2019. Wow, okay? It's a new song, and it's a song that was written by Andrew Peterson, another author. And it's sung in the video by Chris Tomlin. And I really believe the Chris Tomlins and the Matt Redmans and the Andrew Petersons and many others are our new Fanny Crosbys and Charles Wesleys and Isaac Watts and Bill and Gloria Gaither. God gave them a song and they share that. This song is a wonderful song that is a congregational song. And I want to show it to you. And after this song is over, I'll just have a few more words to share. But I want to sit down. And I want to enjoy this, and I hope you will enjoy this too.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Wish that you could see it all made new. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light?
I've got one thing I want to leave with you as we conclude our service this morning. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? He is. Revelation 5 verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know, I hope you'll listen to that song again. And you'll read this chapter because it's so apropos. It's so apropos in the fact that it describes this heavenly throng. And I love the fact of the orchestration and the blending of those voices together. Imagine I read to you about all the voices up in heaven in chapter 5, which we'll get to. Myriads of angels singing. All of God's creation singing. He is worthy, isn't he? Amen. He is worthy. You can watch that free of charge anytime on your little phone or computer, whatever. It's there to inspire you. And what the Bible says, walk by the Spirit and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Feed that Spirit. Oh, and it'll get you through the day and give praise and glory to him. Will you stand with us this morning? As we have our song of invitation, and I appreciate all those that are lead us in that. I know this guy coming in right now, he could play that song and sing that song. He's talented enough. But that is a wonderful song that really communicates this chapter so greatly.